Okay, now we've been looking at the attributes of God, some of them. I don't think we could ever exhaust this. When you start talking about God, where do you find an ending place? Where do you run out of attributes of God to talk about? He's infinite in every way. And so I don't know where to stop. I can just keep going and going and going. But as long as the Lord helps us, we'll just keep at it. I think that's more important than anything else. We have to know God. And it's important to preach about what the Bible says He's like, because we're living in an idolatrous generation that just makes it up as they go. God is just whatever they want Him to be or imagine Him to be. And that ain't going to work. That don't work for anybody. And we're liable to fall into the same kind of trap if we're not careful. You're listening to the other people and watching how they do. You know, I talked about being up there this weekend at that other church and how, you know, it makes you think about everything and all of that. But you know, you got to get real about things. What really does matter? It just brings me back to the same old thing, the same old thing. You know, don't be impressed by what men do. Be impressed by what the Bible says and the real truth. You know, when everything's stripped away, when all of our money and all of our ability to have all this stuff, and I mean, you know, if this building and property is taken away from us, if we have no place to meet, if our rights are taken away to assemble together, can you still be a Christian? I mean, it's almost to the point where you can't, you know, it's illegal to say this and illegal to say that. I mean, I don't know if it's illegal or not, but you end up in jail anyway about it, or end up sued and they take everything you got and destroy your life. You know, I read the other day where the 18th state passed laws saying that it made it illegal for anyone to try to help a homosexual straighten out and be straight. You know, you got to leave them alone. It's illegal to tell them you don't have to be that way. What do you think about that? What are you going to do whenever it is illegal? Whenever it does cost you to be a Christian, are you still going to be a Christian? You know, I wonder about all these big churches and all these big things and works that everybody's got going. What is going to happen when that's taken away from them? Will they still be Christians? Well, that's the goal. You know, that's one of the things that I think about a lot is, in the first place, I ain't going to be around forever. I've begun to realize that. I was holding the baby the other day, and I told her, I said, do you realize that I'm 61 years older than this baby here I'm holding? By the time she's 20, I'll be in my 80s, if I live that long. So, you know, I'm beginning to realize that. I look at these young kids here and grandkids and everything, and I realize they're going to have to go on, and I'm not going to be there. So what I say to them and teach them and the example I set for them now is what's really going to matter down the road. It may not seem too important that right now. It might not seem like we're accomplishing much right now. But we better have a bigger view and a longer view than just right now and next Sunday and this month and what we're looking at right now. And so that's the purpose of talking about the attributes of God. You got to know what God is really like according to the Word of God, what He told us in the Word of God. All right, let's get to it here. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14. Now, we've talked about a lot of different things. Tonight we're going to talk about the fact that God is jealous. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, with a capital J, is a jealous God, with a little j. His name is Jealous. He's a jealous God. Another verse, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. What kind of picture does that put into your mind? Do you think of God like that? Most people don't. Very few people think of Him like that anymore. He's the big old Santa Claus upstairs. He's the old man upstairs. He's the cool dude, they call him. Yeah. They don't think of him as a consuming fire. Jealous? Well, that's become a bad word and a negative characteristic in our modern ungodly society. Oh, you're just jealous. Like, that's a put down. I got news for you. God Almighty is jealous. Jealousy is considered to, it's considered to be envy. It's a synonym for envy in most people's minds nowadays. They think envy and jealousy is the same thing. They use it interchangeably. Wrong. God is not envious. But God is jealous. Envy is a sin. Jealousy is not a sin. God does no sin. He cannot sin. But he's jealous, so that ain't a sin. Y'all understand that? That's the thing we got to nail down right out of the gate. God's a jealous God. And although worldly-minded Christians or ungodly people might use that word as an insult, as a slander against somebody else, or an accusation of wrongdoing, it is not wrong to be jealous. Like God is jealous. In fact, it's used to describe what is really envy and not jealousy at all. You know, if like I got a new car and you're jealous, that's stupid. That ain't the right word to use. I mean, that's real bad English. You're not talking plain. You're envious. You're not jealous. If somebody has an object, a car, a possession, and you don't have it. Now, if they've got a pretty wife, and somebody else wants her and tries to flirt with her and all, then that's jealousy. And who wants to raise their hand and say, now that husband's wrong for being that way? That's a sin for him to be jealous and offended and angry at somebody flirting with his wife. Anybody want to agree with that? Well, of course not. God's jealous. I've heard people blaspheme God because he's jealous. But I'll bet you they would be jealous if it was their wife somebody was messing with. And that's the whole meaning. God jealous of what? He's jealous of his people, his bride. In the Old Testament, it's his wife. He's espoused his people to him. I'm thine husband, he said. Thou art mine. And so he's jealous of his people. He's a consuming fire because of that jealousy. When he comes back, and I'll say this again later, but when Jesus comes back, he's coming back very angry. Why? Because of what the world has done with his bride and how they've treated her and how they've tried to seduce her. And that's in the Bible. To envy is to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. Did you get all that? That's what envy is. It's when it just makes you feel bad to see somebody else that's got something better than you got. They're more intelligent than you are. They've got a better job than you are. Something about them is better than what you got or you think it is, and so you feel bad toward them. You think, here's what envy is. I ought to have that. Why can't I have that? I deserve it more than they do. I'm going to get that. That's envy. Or they think they're really something. You know, everybody likes them better than they do me. Had some terrible experiences in church because that's what people say, you know. Well, you don't like me. You like them. You don't like me. It was envy. That's envy. That's what the dictionary describes it as. Disposed to, wait a minute, I'm skipped here. To repine at another's prosperity. To fret or grieve oneself at the real or supposed imaginary superiority of another. And to hate him on that account. That's what envy is. God's not like that at all. God doesn't envy anybody. He doesn't want to have what anybody's got. He don't fret or worry or be concerned about anybody that's better than him, more intelligent than him. No. That's ridiculous. But God's a jealous God. God doesn't envy anyone or anything, but he's jealous over what is his. You need to understand this about God. Are you his? But remember, he's a jealous God. Everybody that is involved in your life better remember that God's a jealous God. Is it jealousy that causes you to protect your children? Sort of, yeah. Somebody trying to harm them? Somebody trying to steal them? Is it jealousy that causes you to protect your wife at all costs? Well, it's love. How can you be jealous if you don't love them? I mean, I've seen and heard of and know of some people who didn't love each other, and they actually encouraged somebody to take them off their hands. No jealousy there, because there's no love there. Why would you be jealous other than the fact that you love them? But love don't make you angry. Jealousy does. Makes you angry. Say, that's wrong too. Well, how about Jesus looking around on that crowd in anger? With anger, it says. What about when he's coming back in wrath? What about that great day of his wrath? God gets angry. But it's righteous anger. It's not anger over envy. It's not anger over selfish interest or lust. It's nothing like that. It's righteous anger. That's not wrong. I've preached on that before, and boy, that's a hard one to get across. You got no right to get angry over your selfishness or just bullheadedness. But right is right. And when somebody's being mistreated that you love, don't tell me you're not going to get angry. And don't tell me it's a sin to be angry at someone who's trying to harm somebody you love. I mean, it'd make me angry if the people that love me wouldn't get angry at somebody who's trying to hurt me. What kind of friend are you? How much you love me if it don't bother you, babe, if somebody's trying to hurt me? No, I'm glad God's that way. I'm glad I can go to bed tonight and know that God is a jealous God. It gives me a comfort because I'm his. He's jealous of me. He watches how other people treat me. Same with you, if you belong to God. I tell you, I've seen things in the last 40 years of my life that really set me back at what God did sometimes to people. Not only with myself, but with other people. But I've seen it with myself. I've seen people, I really believe they paid a dear price for what they did. That don't mean I'm nothing. That just means that this is true, what I'm telling you tonight. God loves us if we're his. And he calls us his. And he's jealous. He's jealous. Now, to be jealous is... this is what it is. It's a different word than envy. To be jealous is to be... what in the world? I misspelled that word. Apprehensive. There's supposed to be an A there, and it's not there. It disappeared. To be jealous is to be apprehensive, anxious, suspiciously watchful, demanding exclusive devotion. Y'all listen to this. This is the definition of jealousy. Demanding exclusive devotion. Do you think God's that way with us?
Yes.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Da 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 da. For all that is in the world, say it again. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And if you love the world, You know, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So you can't do that same. Does he demand exclusive? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How about that one? Do you demand exclusive love from your wife? You wives, do you just demand that from your husbands? I believe that's the way it is supposed to be. All this multiple marriage and multiple wives and polyamory or whatever they call that, that wickedness, it's not right. Well, I did it in the old days. That don't make no difference. They were wrong. God said, thou shalt not multiply wives unto thyself. Well, David did it. David was wrong. Abraham did it. Abraham was wrong. Just because they did it don't mean it was right. God said don't do that. And all of God's creation and everything that's designed, it tells us plainly. No. One man, one woman. It's not the image of God and his people if it's not that way. God wants your heart exclusively. He wants you to love him supremely. How did Jesus put it? He said, thou shalt love, what's the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Sounds exclusive to me. That's why he's jealous. He demands that we love him. Jealousy is what happens when the wife, the husband, starts, it appears to them that they're looking elsewhere. Well, how do you think God feels? When you're worldly. Y'all listening to me? When you are in love with the world and you go with them and you party with them and you enjoy the things they enjoy and you revel with them. You talk their language. You dress like them. You talk like them. You drink like them. You cuss like them. And you say you belong to God. Well, God's a jealous God, and you ain't going to do that if you belong to him. Amen. If you read in the Old Testament, even in the Old Testament, now we're talking about before the new covenant, before the better promises, better sacrifices, and all of that, God dealt with them, oh, mercy. And that's the language that was used in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of the prophets talked about the wife of God, God's people, that's what he called them, and how they went astray. They committed adultery. That's what God called it. Spiritual adultery. Idolatry. They had other gods. They loved the world. And it talks about them forgetting God. And God was jealous. And what did he do? Well, he got angry. Now, what did that do? Well, he punished them severely. So, you ain't going to get away with it now. That's what I'm saying to you. You're going to love God. He demands exclusive devotion. It also means intolerant of rivalry. God ain't going to put up with it. A rival. You wouldn't put up with it, would you? Would you? Only a fool would. Only somebody who's blind would. God has chosen himself a people from the human race, and they're called the elect. Now, I'm not a Calvinist, but that's in the Bible. I don't care anyway. God's people are the elect. His chosen people. He's chosen us. And they're called the elect, and they're those who have believed in him, and he's jealous over them. God considers them to be his spouse and uses this relationship to convey to mankind his feelings about their unfaithfulness. Did y'all hear what it said there? That's God uses this language to convey to us his feelings about our unfaithfulness. Jealousy is pain mixed with most vehement anger that can be experienced. You ever read the verse where it says jealousy is the rage of a man? You can't appease that. I mean, you can't give him gifts, the Bible says. You can try, that ain't going to work. He's going to get you. You ain't going to stop him. It's the rage of a man. God's a jealous God. I mean, I'm just saying, we can understand that in us, but you need to understand that in God. It's out of bounds. I mean, off the scale, anger, rage, and it's pain mixed with that. True jealousy is based in righteousness, not in selfishness. You get that? True jealousy. God's not selfish. God is righteous. God is holy. And His jealousy is based in that fact, not in any kind of selfish attitude at all. You need to understand that also about the fact that He wants exclusive affection and devotion. It's not selfishness on God's part. Man, that's way off base to think like that. It's righteousness, right. You belong to Him. He says that He says, I bought you. I saved you. In the Old Testament, He talked about how He came along and they were in their blood and they were a mess and they were forsaken and they were going to die. And He came along and cleaned them up and fixed them up and nourished them and brought them up and saved them and made them into what they are now. And He put all that and all the beautiful clothes and ornaments on them and made them what they were. And then they forsook Him and went a whoring, He says, after other gods. He was jealous, very angry. But it's right. Don't you think that they belong to Him after He did all that? If you buy something, you think it's yours? Yes, it is. Especially when you pay the price He's paying for us. He's got a right to be jealous. It's right. Don't accuse God. Don't lay charge to God of selfishness because He's jealous. Now, He's got every right to be jealous. A man who covets another man's wife is envious, not jealous. And he's violating the law of God by doing this. A man who covets another man's wife is envious. And he's violating the law of God by doing this. That's not jealousy when he is wanting what is not his. You understand? When a husband feels toward the man that covets his wife, that is jealousy. And that's not a violation of God's law, but it's a righteous thing. Are you with me? You see that? God's view is that those He has redeemed from destruction are His, not by constraint, but by mutual love. That's the way God views this thing. You're mine because I redeemed you. You belong to me. That's offensive in this generation, especially to women. I'm not property. Yeah. Well, what in the world's the matter with you? I'd sure hate to be married to a woman that wouldn't even acknowledge that she's mine. Yes. And you women ought to be reluctant and absolutely refuse to marry some man who won't say he's yours. That's what marriage is. It's not your body anymore, it's his. And it's not his body anymore, it's yours. That's what the Bible says. It's a mutual giving of oneself to the other. That's what it is. So you can righteously say, she's mine. He is mine. Not yours. Not anybody else's. But I would never get jealous. Oh, nonsense. Nonsense. I'm my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Song of Solomon 6:3. That's the way God put it. I am my beloved's. Now that's the bride talking. And my beloved is mine. Hey, it works pretty good that way, let me tell you. Makes marriage pretty good if it's that way. Better make sure that it's going to be that way before you get married. These independent women we got nowadays. Don't raise an independent woman that's going to ruin somebody's life and make some man miserable someday. Amen. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For thy maker is thine husband, and he's jealous. All right, this has been the view of everybody that's godly and understands life in view of God who created all things. That's always been the view because that's what the Word of God teaches us and says plainly. It's this wicked, perverted world that always wants to deny these truths about the relationship between man and wife and break down God's order and example. Marriage has become a dishonorable thing. We talk about the institution of marriage being destroyed in our society. Well, they've pretty well done it. They don't honor it. It's pretty meaningless to them all now. But I preach to myself in private all the time and say you shouldn't say such ugly things. And that's why it's hard for you to get people to come to church, because you say such ugly things. Because I was listening to this guy up there yesterday, and he said something about, he said we talk about stuff and it don't get along and can't convince somebody. He said just start swinging. He said, well, I shouldn't have said that. That's going to offend. And I said, my lands, if that offends people, what do I do? But anyway, I was telling them there this afternoon, we read, was it this morning, Terry, about the concubine and judges there where all that mess happened and that guy did. And anyway, he's talking about a concubine. I told her, I said, notice that. It says he took her, she played the whore, and he went and got her and took her back to her father. Though she went to her father's and he went and got her, I think. But it called her father his father-in-law twice. It named it as his father-in-law. And I said, he's not even married, but the Bible calls him her father-in-law. So I looked up definition of concubine. You girls, before you ever shack up with somebody, you need. That's why I say these things. Now, if somebody's sitting here and done it, I'd say it anyway, and they'd be offended. But, we got girls growing up, and other girls going to listen to this and stuff, and I want them to hear it before, so they'll have this in their mind before they go and do some stupid stuff like that. Concubine. Dictionary says that it's a woman who lives with a man, cohabitates with a man without the benefit of marriage. And it says, semicolon, it said a woman kept for lewd purposes. So remember that. When you go shacking up and not getting married, that's what you are. You're just being used. You're a thing. Didn't mean nothing to that man. He offered her to the sodomites outside the house that night. And they took her. Killed her. He didn't care much about her, did he? You can bet your boots. You shack up with some old boy, he ain't caring nothing about you. Amen. If he cared anything about you, he would make you some promises. That's called marriage. The same way with a woman. Of course, the looking at it from the other side is different. You don't understand, see? I won't park there. We'll move on. When a man and a woman make a marriage covenant, they're giving themselves. They're gifting themselves one to another. She becomes his, he becomes hers. The very purpose of the covenant is to set each other in first place in the life of their spouse. Now that's the reason for the marriage covenant, and that's the way it ought to be. If it can't be that way, better not do it. Better not do it. Y'all listening? It can't be one way. It ain't never going to work if it's one way. Somebody's going to have a miserable life if it's one way. Both of you promised to honor, to love, honor, and obey, to cherish And all the, you know the marriage vows. You know what all you promise. And both of you promise it. Not just one. And that's what it is. Well, what about salvation? You think that God's just the big giver? And we don't have to do nothing. Don't have to promise nothing. It's nothing on our part. All we got to do is just say yes. And then we get it all. He's our servant. He is always there to protect us, to provide for us, to deliver us and be wonderful to us. While we just whore around in the world. You think that's the way it is? It ain't going to work that way with God. Because God is a jealous God. His name is Jealous with a big J. And he's a consuming fire. You ain't going to do him that way. How many women, I mean, you read it in the news all the time where they get shot and killed and everything else. And I tell her every time, boy, it ain't hard to figure out what happened here. Some guy come in and killed her and her boyfriend and whoever else was there. Jealousy is the rage of a man. What about God? If jealousy is the rage of a man, what about God when he gets jealous? So don't try to portray to me that you're really a Christian and you belong to God while you're living in this world. Ain't no such a thing as no carnal Christian. No worldly Christian. It's like old Brother Billy that just passed away here, Billy Mitchell. He said, if there is a carnal Christian, then there's got to be such a thing as a heavenly devil. That's right. Ridiculous inventions of men. Going right along with the way that marriage and shacking and everything's looked at in the world, see? People want to shack with Jesus. You remember me preaching on that a few years ago? Shacking with Jesus. That's what everybody wants to do. No commitment. Just there for the fun of it. Enjoy the benefits without any commitment. God loves me and grace covers it all, they say. There's one of them songs on that new tape I didn't like. All right. The vows and the promises. Now when a man gives himself like this to a woman, he then deserves for her to be his. Let me tell you something. If he promises to take care of you and to protect you and to provide for you and to be faithful to you, then he deserves for you to be his. Same way the other way. If she promises to be faithful to you and to bear your children if the Lord gives them to you and to be your wife and to stick with you and to love you, then she deserves for you to be hers exclusively. And not be a looking around at all the other skirt tails that's everywhere. Amen. When a woman gives herself to a man like this, then she deserves for him to be hers. And they have a rightful claim on one another. This, that is righteousness. That is righteous. That is not selfish. That is righteous. That is what is right. It's not got nothing to do with selfish. It's mutual commitment and promises and vows and given one to another. And that's what salvation is too. It's a covenant. It's a two-sided thing. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if you don't say the same thing to you, I don't believe there's no such thing as salvation. You don't just accept what he says with no commitment to him. Commit, believe is to commit. It's the same word. Amen. And that's why we got such a mess as we got now. We've got the churches full of people who never did commit nothing to Jesus. They just did this thing of asking Jesus into their heart and getting baptized and got their name on the church roll, and they ain't no more saved than our dog at home. They have a rightful claim on one another, and it's considered holy in the sight of God. And marriage is made, and God established marriage and ordered his creation in that way. He made a male and female, and all of that was in the image and likeness of God. Male and female created he them. And the whole thing is so that we can understand this thing about God and him being jealous and our relationship to him, our duties to him, what we're obligated to God with. Now, you know, you marry a wife and you stand and you vow to one another and you got witness sign and the preacher pronounces you man and wife and all that, you got some obligations. Both of you did. And when one won't fulfill them, then the other one is going to be jealous, and it's going to be right for him to be jealous, for her to be jealous. Amen. Right. And we know that's the way it works, don't we? So understand this, that your relationship with God works the same way. You can't just check in with him once a week, once ever so often. Say, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. Been to church. Yep. Can't live your life as a Christian that way. I wouldn't be satisfied with it if I just seen her once a week and didn't know where she was the rest of the time. Would you? Many of you want a life like that, a marriage like that? Nope. You have a marriage, you got a home. Ain't that right? Supposed to go home. That's whatever, where you want to be. I think people get married, I remember the reason we did is because we wanted to be together. That was the whole deal. Tired of this taking her home every night at 10 o'clock and then, you know, maybe not seeing in 2-3 days or whatever. When we get married, that was my deal. I didn't care nothing about no wedding and all that nonsense and fussing and quarreling and stupid stuff, you know, that they had to do. But all I cared about is when this is over, we go home. That'll be it. We can be together. How is salvation any different than that? You get saved because you want to be with God. God saves you to be with Him, to fellowship with Him, to walk with Him. Not occasionally, all the time. All right. Therefore, anyone who comes messing around trying to interfere with this covenant of marriage and steal away the heart of, or the body of the other one is the lawbreaker and the one who will justly receive the wrath of the jealous one. Now, you can say what you want to. That is right. If you want to get yourself killed quickly, just go messing with somebody's wife. That's what's going to happen to you. Unless he don't want her and he's just wanting you to take her. Obviously. And then you're a real dummy. Real dummy. If you do that. Boy, that's right. I mean, mercy. Like the guy that married the woman and done had 3 husbands and they all died mysteriously. I believe I'd back up and think about this if I was you, pal. Set me as the seal, as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Again, that Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6. So set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. What's a seal? It's a mark to show. It's a thing that closes it off from access to anybody else. Sealed. Mine. I believe if you're married, you ought to wear a wedding ring. I used to didn't because of working and everything. But and, you know, if you're going to do something that where it's dangerous, take it off for a little bit. But you ought to be mindful to show that you're married. I'd be real uneasy of a wife who, when she went out, wouldn't wear it on purpose. If I was you women, I'd be wondering about a man that took it off before he left too. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Proverbs 6 and verse 34. All right, God is a jealous God. The same, thus saith the Lord of hosts. I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. That's in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 2. Read in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Now that's in Joshua chapter 24. That's where that well-known thing happened. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. But he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And all the people answered, we'll serve the Lord. And he said, you can't serve the Lord. He won't forgive you. What do you think about that? I heard about a meeting that was going on in a Baptist church not too awful far from here. And the pastor had been working with these people who were shacking up, a young couple. And they got them to church. They come to church that night, that couple did. Well, the evangelist preached, and the young man came forward crying and hit the altar. And the evangelist got down there with him, and the preacher, the pastor of the church, got down there with him. Well, the pastor knew the situation. So the pastor said to him, he said, son, he said, what do you need? What do you want to do here? He said, I want to get saved. And the pastor said, well, son, you know you're living in fornication and sin. Are you willing to do something about that? He said, no. He said, well, then you might as well go back to your seat because you are not going to get saved. And the evangelist got mad, canceled the meeting, and left. Because the pastor told that young man the same thing that Joshua told these people a long time ago. He said, we'll serve the Lord. We're with you, Joshua. He said, no, you ain't. Standing there with your gods in your hands, and that look on your face and that attitude in your heart and determined to go your own way, God ain't going to forgive you like that. Do away with all that stuff. Same thing John the Baptist said to him. Bring forth works, fruits, meat for repentance. You vipers. They come out to be baptized. We want to get baptized. We're in on this. We believe you. He called them a bunch of snakes. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Don't work that way. He gets angry beyond comprehension when the world messes with his bride. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 5. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful words to cast it out for a prey. Oh, God's jealous. He's hurt beyond comprehension when his bride goes whoring after the world. He's angry. He's hurt. Listen to this in Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 9. This here is a verse that's always got me. I read this and you can really, God just opens his heart for you to see. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whither they shall be carried captives. Because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a-whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. You see a God who's hurt, jealous, yeah, angry. I'm broken. How many times does God say, I am broken with what you've done to me, after what I've done for you, how I've treated you, and what I committed and promised you, and then you do me this way. All right, the anger and the hurt spell jealousy. Remember what I said when I read the definition there? Jealousy is pain and anger, unfathomable anger. That's what it is. It's anger and hurt, and they spell jealousy. And that'll be the motivating attribute of God when he judges this wicked world in that great day of his wrath that the Bible talks about. Can you really get that? Can you get that in your mind and in your thoughts? That this is the attribute of God that's going to motivate him in that great day of wrath when he comes to judge this world. That's the motive. That's what God is going to be feeling, thinking. How's he treading out the winepress of the wrath and fierceness of Almighty God? What's that? The blood's going to run to the horses' bridles? All that? Yeah. What's that all about? God is angry. Why is he angry? Because he's jealous. So I don't know about a God like that. I'm not. Well, he's the only God there is. There ain't no other. Now, you can make you one up, but you might as well get you a knife and a chisel or whatever and a hammer and chisel you one out of a rock or a piece of wood or something. You can even make it out of gold if you want, but it ain't going to hear you when you pray, and it ain't going to deliver you when you're in trouble, and it's just a figment of your imagination. There's only one God, and this is what he's like. Take it or leave it. Love him or hate him. Refuse him or submit to him. It's your choice. But you'll pay the consequences or you'll reap the rewards. He's a good God. There's a lot of things about him besides this. This is just one of his attributes. It's a lot more pleasant when I talk about God is love, wasn't it? God is light. We talked about it. God is life. We talk about all these things and they're pleasant. You know, nice. Good God. God is good. We talked about that one night. He sure is. But God's jealous. God always forgives and restores his bride because he's made a covenant with her forever. Mercy. Jeremiah chapter 3. I don't even have it written down here, but I know what it says. He said, "Thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return unto me, saith the Lord, and I will redeem thee." I'll forgive you. Wow. You going to tell me God ain't good? Jealous? Yes. Angry? Yes. But he ain't like a man in that respect. Wow. He can forgive. "Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed. When thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God." Ezekiel, again, chapter 16, verse 16, 63. And you know Ezekiel was a prophet during the captivity. I mean, Ezekiel's prophesying here and talking. This is when Israel went into captivity. Now, this is the last thing. Same teaching is carried into the New Testament about the church, which is the bride of Christ. For 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, we find the same language. Here it is. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." See, Paul's using the same language there, talking about the church, the bride of Christ. And he's jealous over her with a godly jealousy. Godly jealousy. I hope you can receive all this and assimilate it into your understanding in a right way and get it. This doesn't justify wickedness and stuff. Lost people who do not know God or anything about God, they get jealous. And you know, they do terrible things. Sometimes they're way out of bounds with it. You know, a husband that's berserk, you know, he's obsessed with being jealous over his wife when she ain't giving him no reason to be. That's wrong. We know that. This don't give us a license to be stupid with jealousy. But we know that God, it's important that we know God is a jealous God. It's important that we understand the difference between jealousy and envy. Because the rest of the world don't anymore. And it's important that we relate in our human relationships the godly aspects of all this. I mean, pattern your marriage to your wife, your husband, after God's relationship to His people and salvation. It'll work a lot better for you. Yes, sir. Amen. All right, well, stand with me. We'll have a word of prayer. I'd rather preach on God as love and joy and all that, but this is one of those things. I don't know how to do this and make it all real palatable and sweet. Some of it just ain't sweet. But it's still good. I'm glad that God is this way. What if He didn't care? Can't imagine. Did you ever see people that just didn't care?
Yes, sir.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. Father, thank You for allowing us to be together tonight. Thank You for the Word of God and the Scriptures we've read, the things we've talked about here tonight that are true. Please help us, Lord, to understand properly this attribute of Yours. And Lord, help us to apply it in our lives and in our relationship with You, and to be mindful of it in our walk with Thee, and how we intermingle with this world, and how we guard our hearts against the things of this world that would try to intervene and disrupt our relationship and our peace and our love and joy and in our walk with Thee and our worship with You. I pray You'd help us, Lord, to go out of here and walk with You and love You and be mindful and be faithful to You, and to guard our hearts against all the worldly enticements that are around us that would draw us away from Thee and make our hearts grow cold about You and about Your work. And please give understanding here tonight. Lord, I pray, would You bless Your word to our heart and go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.